Craig was praying, good time to reflect and consider your own relationship with the Lord. And it is something that we do. The Bible says as often as you do it. There's no prescription on when it needs to be done. It's just something that you do as often as you do it. And it is a memorial. It's a reminder. It's a remembrance. And it's an opportunity for examination. It's not for lost souls. And I say that, and nobody thinks they're lost. So what I mean by that is you've never been converted, like we talked about in Sunday school. You've never come to a trust in Jesus Christ, that He is life, He is forgiveness of sins, and that you cannot work and you cannot do anything that will improve on the work that Jesus Christ has already done on your behalf. And now, once you trust Jesus Christ, you're going to live your life, and you'll sin after that. The Bible says when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. But if you've never come to a saving understanding or acceptance of Jesus Christ, and what I mean by that is the Lord shows you the error of your life, you accept that, and you say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I need a Savior. I am a sinner who needs a Savior. And you trust that Jesus Christ is life, because He is. He rose from the grave, died on a cross, rose from the grave. And so that's what I mean by salvation. That's what I mean by saved. And if a person is lost, this isn't for you, so to speak. This is for members of the body of Jesus Christ who have received Jesus Christ. And so it's not a mass. You'll notice you have common bread, you have broken bread. We don't have wafers. We don't have wafers because that's not the picture. The illustration, when Jesus Christ takes the bread and He breaks the bread, He said, "This is my body." So it's not a wafer. He takes common bread and He breaks it and says, "This Passover meal, this bread that's been eaten for hundreds and hundreds of years in Israel on this evening, it's an illustration. It's my body. This is representing me." And so He broke that bread and gave to the disciples, and then He poured out the juice there and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," and all that. And we'll read some of that. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you want to go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and the examination that Paul wants the Corinthians to make in reference to this, the Lord's Supper, is the sacrifice. He wants them to consider the sacrifice. And so for your sake, for my sake, when we have the Lord's Supper here, that's what we ought to consider, sacrifice. What is it in my life? Where is the sacrifice for the Lord? Where is the selfishness and things like that? Because here's the rundown of the Corinthians. They had a church that everybody just sort of did what they wanted to do there. And people just showed up and they kind of did what they wanted to do. And they had their own way of worship. They had their own agendas. Everybody showed up with their own ideas about how things ought to be done. And everybody came with their own sort of motives and their own really thinking church is me. It's about me and what am I going to get out of this sort of thing. And so, or how can I be promoted in this thing or whatever. And so here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, and he uses the night before the Lord goes to the cross as the illustration or as the example that the Corinthians ought to be following. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So when they were having church, it wasn't making them better. It was making them all more selfish and more greedy and more angry and more mad at each other. And it was just not a good church service. I mean, you'd probably never hear a pastor say anything like that, like, it's not good that you're coming to church. But that's what Paul just said. It's not good that you're coming to church because your motives are bad, and when you get there, you make it worse than it was. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the sacrifice. And the contrast is, you guys are showing up for selfish reasons, and you forgot the whole basis of this whole meeting is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now it's become entertainment. Now it's become, what can I get out of this? Now it's become, how is, do you have anything for me? Or now it's become, I got something to say. How can I sing my next song? How can I get in the pulpit and say my next thing? How can I get on the board or whatever? I mean, how can I do this? And the point is, that's all selfish motives and selfish desires. And Paul says, you can't have a church that way. You have to remember and go back to the whole foundation of this whole assembly is a sacrifice. That's how it started. It's a sacrifice. So he says in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's important, because you're not eating the bread and drinking the cup so you'll be in the body of Christ, which is taught by some religions. I go to Mass and I drink this cup and I eat this body, so I am a part, therefore, of the body. No, you have to examine yourself before and see if you're in the body. And if you're in the body, okay, now you can partake of it. So it's not a method of getting in the body. It's a time of self-examination to see if you're a part of the body. And if you are, then you can remember a sacrifice that was for you. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sleep, that's death. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. All right, I'll stop there. There's a few things to deal with about remembering the Lord's sacrifice. I think you get the overall picture here. Paul's dealing with a selfish church, a carnal church, and explaining to them the basis for your gathering together is a sacrifice. But now you're gathering together with your own agendas and your own motives, and so you've completely lost the meaning of what a local congregation is. You've completely lost the meaning of your gathering together and what it's about. So he talks about desecrating the memorial in verses 17 through 22. It's the memorial, it's remembering the Lord, it's remembering the Lord's sacrifice. And like I said, I mean, you probably never imagined you'd hear a pastor say to a group of people, it's better if you didn't come to church, but that's what Paul's just said to them. I mean, the way you're coming to church, it would be better if you just stayed home. So he says in verse 18, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. Well, there's heretical divisions, there's worship divisions. We worship this way, we worship God this way. Well, we like to worship God this way. Well, we do worship this way. You understand, worship is about God, it isn't about you. And so the way God prescribes worship, Jesus Christ said one time, he said to a lady, he said, there's coming a time where they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But the Corinthians were sort of to each his own. It's like you come and you worship in your way, 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 to the point. I understand there's some personal stuff that goes on, but when it comes to divisions among people, because I want to worship this way, and I want to worship this way, and I want to worship this way, and I want to worship this way, it's time to gather up and say, how does God want us to worship? How are we supposed to do this? Because we didn't start this. It wasn't based on me. It wasn't based on our ideas. Jesus Christ started this, so how does he want it done? It's about him. But they'd come together, and they would so to speak, they'd desecrate the memorial. I mean, you would probably be offended. You'd probably be offended if there's a memorial maybe of a veteran or someone's sacrifice. That's what a memorial is. You're remembering somebody's sacrifice, and you're remembering that life, and somebody may have made a memorial to that person, or there's a headstone or something like that to that person remembering the sacrifice. And then you read it in the paper that somebody spray-painted the memorial, or they knocked it over, or they just trashed it. And you would say, what are these people doing? Well, that's what Jesus Christ is looking at the Corinthian church like. What are you doing to this memorial? You've kicked it over. You've spray-painted it. Everybody's got their own tag they got to put on this thing. And it's not about any of us. It's about Jesus Christ. So they desecrate the memorial. They've got heretical divisions. Paul says, you know, I hear there's divisions among you. I partly believe it. It's kind of like I don't like secondhand information, but the information you're giving sounds credible. It sounds like this is kind of the nature of the thing. He says, I partly believe it. There's selfish divisions. He says over there in verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. So you got people in need who aren't getting taken care of. Then you've got people who are just there for the entertainment. Just, if you don't entertain me, I'm not going to show up and keep entertaining me. And so Paul's like, this thing has become a mess. It's become a mess. So here's how we take the mess, Corinthians, and get back to square one. Your whole gathering together is based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It didn't start with your entertainment. It didn't start with your ideas. It didn't start with your prescription for worship. It didn't start with how do I want to do church. The Lord lays it out. This whole thing is based on a sacrifice, and here's how it plays out. Here's how it lives out. And one of the most, you and I, we would avoid so many problems in this life if we just live by the word selfless. The word selfish creates so many problems. In fact, over in Timothy, he says that in the latter days, there's going to be troublous times. It's going to be perilous. Why is it going to be perilous? Well, men will be lovers of their own selves. That just become They become deadly in their selfishness. They will become so selfish that will be a threat to other people. That's the danger. But if you live selflessly, you know, it'll prevent a lot of bad emotions that you don't need. It'll prevent a lot of bad feelings that you don't need. It'll probably make you a happier person. It'll just in general be better for you. Probably be better for your health. But when selfishness is in the picture, and this is what Paul's dealing with, it's just selfishness. Selfish divisions, selfish motives. People are there for entertainment. Paul says, look, I'm not anti-entertainment. You got a house? You got food in the house? Eat at the house? Be entertained at the house? Come to church? And the purpose of this gathering started with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what this is for. So you ought to sanctify a little bit of time, you know, time in the week here. We've got Sunday morning here. We got Wednesday evening. We got Sunday evening. But sanctify a time where this is about Jesus Christ. This is no longer me. This isn't my motives. This isn't my agenda. This is about what does Jesus Christ want out of my life. And when you don't have that, you got problems. There are problems that obviously arise. So then after Paul describes how people have desecrated the memorial in the Corinthian church and just blown the whole thing to pieces with their me attitude, then he gives some direction. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in the which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. That's the sacrifice. Notice the contrast. You guys are not living sacrificially, and you're calling what you're doing church, and you're calling what you're doing Christianity, but it has no reference to where Christianity even started. The night before Jesus Christ is crucified, he takes common bread as an opportunity to illustrate a point. He takes this bread, and it's Passover bread, it's unleavened bread, and he takes this bread and essentially says, this Passover that's been celebrated for centuries in Israel, it's all me. This is about me. And he takes the bread, and he doesn't hand out crackers. He takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, this is my body broken for you. Broken, meaning sacrifice. That's the ingredient that's missing in the Corinthian church. You don't have sacrifice, you have selfishness. So he says, he takes that bread, and he's sitting around with the disciples, and Jesus Christ just breaks the bread, and he says, this is my body. It's broken for you. And then he takes the cup, same manner, verse 25. Also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So there's direction for the memorial service. There's direction for the service, for the church service in general. Paul said, look, the way I receive this is the way I'm giving it to you. I'm not making this up. I didn't start this. I am just a messenger. I am an ambassador. I am just passing on to you information about the Lord Jesus Christ the way I got it. And now I'm giving it to you. I'm not adding anything to it. I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm just telling you what I know about Jesus Christ. This is what he did the night before he was crucified. And this is what he said. And now I'm just passing it on to you. showing it's not something that's just sort of to each his own. You kind of do it how you want to do it. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you know just a little bit of history about the Passover, real quick, the Passover was instituted in Egypt when Israel was in Egypt, and it describes the night the Lord passed over certain families and didn't kill the firstborn son because they had the blood of a lamb on a doorpost. You take the blood of a lamb, you put it on the doorpost, and the Lord would pass over based on the blood of the lamb. And the Lord, for centuries, Israel was supposed to observe that, and they did for a little bit, and then they stopped, but then they were doing some semblance of it. But the Lord said, this Passover, this is about me and my blood, my sacrifice, and ultimately, if the Lord, put it this way, if God the Father sees the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of your heart, he passes over that. That means that your soul is taken care of. It's covered by the blood. You may hear that phrase, covered by the blood. That's what that is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's direction for this. Interestingly enough, when the Lord set up the Passover 1,500 years before Jesus Christ, to the day, he said, 10 days you pick a lamb, at 14 days you kill the lamb, and all the prescriptions there is in Exodus, but to the day, to the hour, Jesus Christ is crucified at the very same time the Passover lamb is being killed in Israel. He is the lamb. It was all about him. It's him. You can read it in 1 Corinthians. He says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And it's a remembrance. What we're doing here is a remembrance of that sacrifice. This do in remembrance of me. It's a memorial of Jesus Christ's selfless sacrifice. So here's the state of things in the Corinthian church. Here's the remedy. Paul says, what I've received, I've given to you. Now, what's your responsibility? What's my responsibility? Here it is in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, it's an unexamined life, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Remember, the blood, the body of Jesus Christ is pictured in the bread and the juice. It's all pictured there. You've got the body of Jesus Christ about to be sacrificed. And if you don't consider the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Like I want to be a part of, this is what people say, or people think. And I mean, I think we all have these tendencies, but I mean, if you're lost, you want the blessings of God. You just don't want them the way God prescribed them. You want eternal life. You want a home in heaven, I'm sure. You want to be out from underneath sin. You want to have live a life without temptation. You want these things that come in Jesus Christ, and ultimately in the redemption of the body in Jesus Christ, but you don't want to do it God's way. You love the blessings of Jesus Christ. You love the joy. You love the peace, or the idea of it. You want the love that comes in Jesus Christ, and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, but just don't want it God's way. So the time now is time to examine yourself. and say, okay, I want these blessings, but I'm going to have to do this God's way. Jesus Christ died on a cross. He would die the next day after the Lord's Supper here. He would die the next day. And he would willingly give up his life. Willingly. And I say willingly, the Bible says willingly. He gave up his own life because you couldn't kill Jesus Christ. He's life. So he gave up his own life not for himself, for sinners. And that sacrifice serves as the basis for what he called, this is the New Testament. The New Testament in my body, in my blood, this is the New Testament. This is the basis for your gatherings in the future. This is the basis on why you get together. This is the basis of your fellowship. This is the basis of what you're going to call Christianity. This is the basis, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So who participates? Saved folks, an examined life. Saved people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their sacrificial lamb and are willing to examine their own lives in light of that sacrifice, because that's what this whole thing is. When you consider Christ's selfless sacrifice on the cross, what you and I have to consider is our own selfishness. And we got to put all of our ideas and our motives and our desires and our what we think gathering together as Christians should look like, and we got to yield that to what God said it is. Jesus Christ said this is the basis for this. This is the basis for these gatherings. This is the basis for what we're doing here. Unworthy partaking comes from an unexamined life in light of the body and blood of the Lord. So somebody who wants to partake of the Lord's Supper, but they're not saved, they're not willing to examine their own lives, the Lord says, be careful with that. And I think these words are as much true today as they were back then. I think when he says people do this unworthily, when they don't examine their own lives, and he says, there's some sick among you, there are some weak, there are some who are asleep, I don't think that's a first century thing. I think that's just a Lord's Supper thing. And you come to the Lord and you say, I want it my way, I want it my way, and I want it my way. And the Lord says, well, it doesn't work this way. There's going to be chastisement with that. There's going to be judgment with that. So he says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So here's the duty. You got the duty of the participants. This is what you and I are required to do in this Lord's Supper. It's not a mass. We're not passing out wafers. This isn't to get you into the body of Christ. This is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so you practice self-examination, like he said in verse 31, 32. And the alternative to that is an unexamined life in light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It yields chastisement. It yields judgment. It yields trouble, unnecessary trouble. And it kind of goes back to what we said at the beginning. If you and I lived our lives, if we live our lives selfishly, there's trouble that comes with that. Now, there's trouble that comes with living selflessly, but there's not unnecessary trouble that comes with that. So all of that said, that is a description of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And now that I've said all that, I don't know that any of y'all even want to take it anymore. So. But I want to be serious about it. I mean, I want us to be serious about this. It's a serious thing, and it's a time to really examine your life and examine your life in light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? I say I'm saved. What is my purpose now? What is the point? Why do I gather here? And considering those motives and those reasons and things like that, the things that go along with gathering together and living as a Christian, Jesus Christ is the measuring stick. He's the measuring tape. Everything's measured according to Him. And so when we examine our lives, what we do is we put our lives and put them up to Jesus Christ and say, where do I fall short? Where do I fall short? Especially in light of the fact that He's God manifest in the flesh, and He came as a man and then offered His body and His blood unto death. And yet we're going to show up and make our demands and tell people, this is how I want it to run, this is how I want to do things, and I don't have anything for this, and I want to do it this way, and I want to do it this way. That's not remotely what Jesus Christ did. Everything Jesus Christ did in the flesh was for sinners. Nothing was for Himself. He didn't gain anything by dying on the cross other than He has, sinners get saved. That's good for you and me. But in heaven, he's King, He's Lord, he doesn't need anything. So everything He does in His body is for the benefit of other people. Everything He did. Everything. And so that's a standard we're not going to live up to, but we ought to at least examine our lives in light of it and make some changes that need to be made. And so before we take the Lord's Supper here, that's the instruction. That's the directions there. And so we're going to give you a little bit of time here. We'll have some time, and I guess Sam can come play on the piano a little bit. And go ahead, Sam. Now is the time. Sam will play on the piano a little bit. And based on what we talked about, what we've heard, and you can keep reading 1 Corinthians 11 and keep looking over these things and thinking about this. But this is a time to examine your own life. Not examine somebody else's life, but examine your own life in light of Jesus Christ. And we'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. But you can bow your heads, close your eyes, however you want to do it. But as Sam plays, we'll just have a little time of self-examination and think about your life in light of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Okay, it's gonna look up here. Sammy can stay at the piano, play a little bit more. I'll pass out the bread and the juice here. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I'll give you opportunity. Jesus Christ died for your sins, which means you're a sinner. He rose again from the dead. He's the only one that ever did that. And he offers you justification from your sins before God freely. And what you have to do, what your response to that is that you have to believe that. You got to trust Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I guess most of y'all here are saved. I think so. But I wouldn't want to assume anything. So I want to tell you that before we do what we're going to do here. And if I can get a couple guys to come on up here. Craig, come on up. Alan, come on up here. Ben, you want to come up here? And let's see. Josh, you want to come on up here? We'll pray, and then we will pass out the bread and the juice, and we'll partake in the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray that you would use this time to examine our own lives in light of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've pointed out lots of things in my life, and I pray that you'd help me to apply what you've shown me to live more like a Christian and live more like Jesus Christ. I pray that for all of us here, that in a time of self-examination, point out things that don't match up with Jesus Christ, and you'd help us to line up our lives with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for sacrifice. Thank you for the resurrection and the offer of eternal life freely. Thank you so much. For there's no way sinners like me and us would have any hope without Jesus Christ. We are just fatally flawed. And I thank you so much for this free gift of eternal life and redemption and hope in Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, y'all can take them both, juice and the bread, and pass it out. So the Bible says, when he had given thanks, he broke it, broke the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to examine ourselves. And thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray we'd live our lives according to the measure of Christ. And you'd help us with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You got a hymn, Ben? Do a hymn. And you guys can, after we sing, we can pick them up.
390.